We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox post-game show presented to you by our friends over at Factor and Leinenkugel. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, the CHGO White Sox community leader, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at Eknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Joining us later from Guaranteed Rate Field will be our CHGO White Sox beat writer, Vinny Duber, with updates from the ballpark. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. And you can help support us by becoming a diehard today. So sign up at allchgo.com, become a diehard, get to chat with us and participate in our click to pick games each and every week. You also get a shirt of your choice when you sign up, and welcome in to the CHGO White Sox show presented by Factor Meals. Use code CHGOSOX50, that's CHGOSOX50, to get 50% off your first Factor box and free wellness shots for life with any active subscription at factormeals.com/CHGOSOX. And our friends over at Leinenkugel, go to Leine.com. That's Leinie.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's Leinie.com/CHGO, or pick up Leinenkugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Leinenkugel's, flavor of the moments. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls. Yes.
Yes.
Herb, you're kind of quiet.
Goodness gracious. I mean,
should we tell them what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a game review would be fine because there are people who did not watch this game that just tune in for CHGO White Sox Post.
Those people are probably right. 33,420 people. Nice. Paid attendance today at Guaranteed Rate Field to watch the White Sox lose.
Yeah.
They lose 1-0. They didn't score a run, folks.
On a sack fry fly.
Same as it ever was. Yeah, that's the thing. Is the thing that we'll be talking about today, the thing that we'll be positive about, we'll try to be positive about, yeah, is the pitching. The White Sox pitching was fantastic. Really the only person to run into trouble, not surprisingly, Michael Kopech. But the offense, Tarik Skubal looked very fantastic today. But was it Tarik Skubal looking fantastic, or is it just the White Sox not walking at all? 11 strikeouts and zero walks. I think the comment said it. I don't know exactly who said it. Oh, it was Mark. Mark said zero walks, 11 Ks. Same old shit.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not that Skubal was overpowering. He was good, but the White Sox were swinging at his pitches. A lot of pitches outside the zone. This is the thing that we talked about in the offseason about, okay, they got to have better at bats. And we talked in the pregame about Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez can pick their spots to try to go off on one. What the other seven guys' job was to do is to get on base. They failed except for Andrew Vaughn, who got on base one time via hit. Mm. That's it. Those three guys got singles. And that's it. And Luis's was an infield, swing where it dribbled to the second baseman. So this is just anemic offense for the White Sox. We knew it was going to be anemic. And I know that people are like, well, it's game one. This is going to happen all season long with these at-bats. They're not allowing this person to get himself into trouble, this opposing pitcher, to get himself in trouble. Now, yes, and Curtis brings up a good point. Home plate umpire Brian Onora was hella bad today. And Andrew Vaughn did really got a walk there in, I think, the sixth inning when Brian Onora called him out on a changeup that was both high and inside. So that
and also called him out for a pitch violation.
Exactly. But I think that was warranted. But just a bad game for him. But he didn't cause the White Sox offense not to hit Tarek Skubal today or any of the Tigers bullpen guys. It was just low level offense. I know Marcus Thames is hiding in the locker room somewhere. It's like, oh yeah, they hired me as the offensive or the hitting coach, and they got three damn hits. What are you doing out here? Oh God, I can't do 161 of these.
You can't do 161. What are you talking about? The season just started. Already giving up. You're quitting.
Not of like.
Did I get Sarah on here to
for, you yes, know, not
to
of,
be my co-host.
Like. This is the thing. Like, we're talking about baseball IQ. Did the baseball IQ improve? Part of baseball IQ is the swing selection. Right. What pitches you're going to swing at and why you're swinging at this pitch. Like, Kevin Pillar got a 1-0 count, and there's a slider on the outside zone, low. I'm like, what are you going to do with that pitch even if you hit that ball? Like, you're just going to ground that ball right to the first baseman. That's the type of stuff that I don't understand. I know they're doing the handedness thing, but I would rather see Dominic Fletcher get three at-bats and do much better than Kevin Pillar did today.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It really seemed like he was kind of a last-minute addition to the White Sox team as well.
They didn't even like him. They cut him.
Yeah, they cut him. And I don't know. I think he should have stayed cut. I don't know. This team looks horrendous. And, you know, Kevin Pillar isn't the biggest issue on the team. But they showed all the additions and all the subtractions from this White Sox team. And, man, did none of the additions look that good. I mean, the guys that were great in this game, I mean, maybe you want to include Dominic Leon, but the two guys that were fantastic in this game, Garrett Crochet and Davey Garcia, they were here last year. So, I mean, we didn't need to change the culture. We didn't need to change the IQ. We just needed to have those guys throw more pitches. On today's show, we will talk mainly about Garrett Crochet's fantastic first major league start. But I just want to add on to what Herb was saying about the hitting. Eloy Jimenez had a hit over 99 miles per hour. Moncada had a hit over 99 miles per hour. And then the other one was
not Moncada.
No, I'm just saying balls in play that were hard hit. Aloy had one that was a line out. Moncada had one that was a ground out. Pillar had one that was a line out. Lopez had one that was a line out. Robert had one that was a fly out. And then Jimenez hit the hardest ball today for the Sox, 105.9, and that was a single. So I think that is total six balls that were hard hit by the White Sox today. So that's just, I know that people don't love the analytics part. I know that people don't love the numbers part, but it is very simple. Ball hit hard, ball usually land for a single. I don't know how that doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Yeah, and the thing is too, it was, you're talking about fast. You're talking about doing things differently and playing a style that's more aggressive. And you're talking about bunting. If you can't get a hit after a couple innings, I would love to see Nicky Lopez or, as they say, the two hitters supposed to do, Yoan Moncada, lay down a bunt and try to get something going that way. They weren't touching Tarek Skubal because of, firstly, their bad process. And secondly, his pitches were good. Fastball, slider, worked, changeup worked out for him today. But he wasn't where sometimes you're just like, man, there's nothing we can do about that guy. He's like, that's how the Tigers felt about Garrett Crochet. There's nothing they could do about Garrett Crochet today except for one bad pitch selection by Martin Maldonado and location by Garrett Crochet. Today, Tarek Skubal was fine, but a regular team with a regular good offense approach would have gotten much more hits off of him and would have did much more damage. They didn't really get to second base. I'm trying to think. Did they ever get to second base this whole game? Single by Luis Robert eventually just got out the next bat. I think the Aloy at bat, he got out immediately. And then the Andrew Vaughn at bat, he got forced out at second.
Yeah.
So they didn't even get a guy to second base. That's Like, fuck home. Fuck touching home. They didn't get to second. These people out here just making out.
As Javi Baez learned, to get to second, you can get to third, and then you can get to home. And that's why it was 1-0. Why don't we get into the point of where the Tigers kind of took over this game, and then we'll get into Crochet. So they go 0-2 on Baez, yep. And Baez gets booed mercilessly for some reason by Sox fans. Again, just stop. He's the eighth hitter for the Tigers. 0-2 count, fastball, middle. He's able to put that ball into play, get on base. He's able to steal second. Maldonado fumbles the ball, really isn't able to even get a throw down to second base. Then it was a sack. No, then a ground out moves him to third, and then a sack fly drives him in. Yeah. So overall, Crochet really, made one mistake, and then the lack of defense, the lack of ability to truly put them away. And this White Sox defense, to be perfect, it's not like they were bad.
No.
Lopez had a difficult play that snuck under his glove that Crochet also touched, and that ball got down for a single. You think Maldonado should be able to throw out Baez. Baez isn't really technically a burner. They really weren't able to get the jump on that, and Baez was able to get him. And then, hey, they were just played small ball and drove in a run. It's frustrating to watch. It was a quick game to watch, 2 hours and 6 minutes for this game at Guaranteed Rate Field, but just not a lot of excitement outside of Garrett Crochet. He was absolutely brilliant today, White Sox fans. I know that it's obviously been something we've talked about here on CHGO White Sox this entire offseason. I know yesterday we talked about our predictions, and I got really frustrated with the lack of a true vocalization of a plan for Garrett Crochet. And after he goes 5 innings and gives up 5 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, and has 7 strikeouts, I'm like, great.
Great start.
75 innings or 75 pitches. Perfect. Why are we rushing this? And then he comes out for a 6th inning and he throws 87 total pitches today. 6 innings of 1 earned run ball, 8 strikeouts, no walks. Garrett Crochet wanted to be a starter. He got the chance to be a starter, and he dominated as a starter. This was fun to watch. I know this game was ugly. I know if you watch the White Sox just bat that you would probably want to claw your eyes out. But just watching Garrett Crochet pitch was worth the price of admission that I paid to be at my office, my work office.
Yeah, I still have my doubts about the move to make him the opening day starter. But the performance shuts people up. Now, I'm worried about down the road, but today, opening day, when the money was on the table, he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tigers weren't seeing him today, not at all. Like, I'm guaranteeing right now they're in that dugout like, man, we are lucky to get this victory.
Mark Hanna's still thinking like, man, where did that ball come
yeah.
from?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the thing with Garrett Crochet. We know when he pitches, he's filthy. Throughout his major league career and his minor league career, which is brief, he's dominated, but the thing is, he's only pitched, 100 innings? Can he keep this performance up for versus the Braves next Tuesday? Maybe? I don't know. But I'm looking forward to every single start of Garrett Crochet's now, just like I'm looking forward to every single at-bat from Luis Robert, because he's a thing. Mm-hmm. You were getting hyped up, Sean. I was getting hyped up for pitching, which is weird as hell. That man was throwing sliders from one batter's box to the other, and the Tigers are like, what's going on? And then he would back it up with 100 right. in the corner. That Veerling one, he's like, what am I doing? You know, I can't hit that. You can't call that a strike. You can't. And another thing, no, I don't care, Tom. You bring out the best in Javi Baez. If you just ignore him and let Javi Baez be the bum that he is currently, he will be the bum that he is currently. He plays up to your hatred. He plays up to your derision of him being a former Cub. And he brings performance out of that. So just ignore him. Act like he's a regular another player like Colt Keith.
Right.
And just like hold the newspaper up and then let him strike out like he is going to do.
I don't even think that he was that motivated by the booing, because the next times that he came up, he struck out. He's bad at baseball.
He is.
The
really
White
bad.
Sox didn't execute against Javi Baez today, and that's why they lost.
Yeah.
There was one pitch that they didn't execute to Javi Baez, and he snuck it passed, I think, Nicky Lopez for a hit, and then he was able to get to second on a steal. They moved him over to third. Sacrifice baseball. The only reason why they lost 1-0 is because of small ball. And hey, that happens. You're supposed to be able to score more than one run. I mean, I don't get the booing of Javi Baez because he hasn't done anything to the White Sox, even when he was playing with the Cubs. He's just kind of ostentatious a little bit. Like, he's just a little bit, you know, showboaty, but yeah. Even then, he's not really that showboaty anymore because he's been pretty bad at baseball. There's nothing for Javi Baez to showboat about over the past couple of years.
Not
so I don't get the whole booing of Baez. But to go back to Crochet, he threw 40 four-seam fastballs. Let me restart. He threw 87 pitches.
Okay.
40 of them were four-seam fastballs. 36 of them were the demonic sliders that you mentioned. He also worked in 7 cutters and 4 changeups. The fastball topped out at 99.8, according to StatCast, averaged 97.6. And that's the biggest thing, is there's so much excitement that I have for Garrett Crochet. I understand that I've been voicing my frustration about the White Sox and their plan, and that it's been very mysterious what's going on with Garrett Crochet. It is not mysterious when Garrett Crochet goes out there, throws 40 fastballs, and his average mile per hour is up 1.3 ticks, right? Going from 97.6 to 96.3 last year. So he's up. If he's able to maintain that fastball velocity over 87 pitches for 6 innings, he will be a dominant starter, period. That fastball is so good. I mean, it's so flat. It's so extended, too. Since he is so big, he gets about 7 feet of extension. So that 97 mile per hour fastball really feels more like 101. And you could see professional hitters like Mark Canha just absolutely get freaked out by that pitch. So if they are able to maintain his velocity into that Braves start, into the future starts that he's making, and he's able to somehow manage this over 30 games, the White Sox have an ace.
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing with me, is my excitement for Garrett Crochet is then tempered by my scaredness of this White Sox front office. Because you're right, Steve Stone mentions at the bottom of the fifth inning, or the top of the fifth inning, oh, well, Garrett Crochet looks good, but no one's warming up in the bullpen. And here he comes for a sixth inning. Do you want to overwork him right away? I understand that the pitch limit was 80, but they saw... He threw 80 pitches in his last spring training.
Apparently it wasn't 80, it was 87.
Instead of ending at 75, they ended 87. Like, instead of being on the safe side with Crochet, even in a one-run deficit, they're like, no, let's go throw him out there and see what he can do. And he maintained his velocity all throughout that sixth inning. I really, really hope that Garrett Crochet can be this guy, because this guy is an ace. This guy is Randy Johnson, if he can go out there and replicate this. But that's the toughest part about starting pitching, is, you know, you can have a great April, but then June, July, and August come and you're just not the same guy because you don't have the same zip.
I want to apologize to you. I wasn't familiar with the game. Because when you said in the pregame show that this guy, Garrett Crochet, is Randy Johnson as the comp, I was like, come on, man. That's high praise. That is a lot to live up to. That man lived up to the fuck out of that. Lance Brozdowski from Marquee at Lance Broz says his four-seamer has 98 miles per hour sitting on it, 16 inches of vertical, 8 inches of horizontal, while his cutter is 94. 9 inches of vertical with one horizontal, and a sweeper with 12 inches of sweep at 84 miles per hour. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, just who's with Garrett Crochet? And that was smart of AJ Hinch to alter that lineup and get some of the lefties out of there. But I mean, Andy Ibañez, you know, there was no shot. I mean, I get tired of these managers with handedness and putting a worse baseball player in the game just because he happens to hit right-handed, Kevin Pillar. But there was nobody, if you're putting that lineup, is going to hit him. Choe would have had a really hard time today. I mean, name your lefty, Freddie Freeman. All of them would have had a hard time today with this man. Yes, all of them would have had the hardest of time. Because
Ted Williams was a lefty.
You can't sit on that fastball because you can't hit it necessarily unless it's in the zone like he left it for Javi Baez. And then you got to look out for that slider and the cutter. And then if he throws the change, which he barely did and didn't throw it well, he's filthy. Like, he's developing pitches, but mostly he's a two-pitch pitcher right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
46% four-seam fastball, 41% slider.
You can't, like, it's ridiculous. And you're looking at those pitches, you're like, there was a 98, and there was a 98, and there was, like, a 93. Apparently, those are his cutters.
Yeah, right. It wasn't a great broadcast. It was, you just had the mile per hour, but there wasn't really the pitch identification, and more of these StatCast kind of qualifications have come out as the game has unfolded and then finally wrapped up. We did see some 93s. I don't really think the cutter really showed much, at least on the broadcast. I know that they're pretty similar to a four-seamer, but I don't think we saw a definitive pitch from Crochet that showed a new cutter. Like, I know that obviously this... The qualifications, if you're looking at the actual pitches, it's slower and it moves less, right? I'm just for throwing your four-seam fastball. I don't get why you're throwing a cutter when your four-seam fastball is that good. And then also, you mentioned the horizontal break from Lance there. That's up 2 inches from last year. So he's got more arm side cut on it, or arm side tail on it. So it's just moving more at lefties. So, I mean, if you're looking at a lefty, that pitch, if he's throwing it up and in at you, I mean, that probably comes... just looks like it's absolutely going to hit you in the face, and there it is, just framed right there on that strike zone.
And you spoke about it, like the arms, the legs, all that stuff that goes along with Garrett Crochet, him being tall, big, the huge leg kick up to his head, all that stuff is in the player's head, and he hides the baseball long enough, and you said he's out here reaching, and it looks like he's just dropping the ball right into the catcher's mitt, but at 100 miles per hour. Like, good luck. That, I mean, it's, we can't overstate how great that performance is, not just for any pitcher who has been a starter before, for a guy making his first major league start. That probably is one of the best in White Sox history for making your first major league start performance right there.
Yeah.
Period.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of 9 players to make their first ever MLB start on opening day. The last one was Tanner Shepherds, and I think we can say that Garrett Crochet is better than Tanner Shepherds.
Slightly. I asked my Rangers people, better. Like, yeah, he was terrible.
A little less Tanner Shepherds, a little more Lefty Grove, which is, I think, everyone wants to hear.
Remember that song? It was great. By Elvis? A little less Tanner Shepherds, a little less...
I think you're thinking of the Doobie Brothers in China Grove.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Or maybe you're thinking of the Dodgers pitcher Michael Grove.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll let you know more about the Chicago White Sox. I got more Crochet thoughts, especially his composure on today. And later, we'll be joined by Vinny Duber from the Guaranteed Rate Field, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. Want to let you know, though, about our friends over at Line & Kugel.
All right, at Line & Kugel, nothing says summer like hanging out with your people, whether you're at the ball game, a cookout, or just chilling.
With 33,000 of your friends today at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Damn right. And if you're kicking it in the Lining's Lounge, it's always a good time.
Did you see what was behind home plate today as the batters were batting?
I did not.
Some lovely pictures of Barry Weiss and Summer Shandy promoting that lovely Line & Kugel beer.
And I'm glad you talked about Summer Shandy, because nothing feels like summer more like Summer Shandy. At Ballpark Pub, where we did the pregame, I had a couple Summer Shandies on tap there. It's very rare that you get a bar here in Chicago, which at least I haven't been to one, that you get the Summer Shandy on tap, and it was so delicious. I love that stuff. I know what you're saying. Herb, Summer Shandy is a seasonal beer. What does Line & Kugel have for me year-round? I'm glad you asked that, folks. You can have Line's Original Lager, Light Lager, Lakeside Cherry, Juicy Peach, Barry Weiss, as Sean just showed you, Northwoods Amber, Dark Lager, and so much more. Right now, I'm drinking the Sunset Wheat. It always goes down smooth. They drank the last bottle of Barry Weiss, even though we have some here. I don't want to take the set away.
That's a prop.
Right. Yeah, that's a prop.
You guys can't use it.
Damn it. One of these days, one of these days, I'm just going to drink it, because Barry Weiss is that delicious. It's got ice right here, Sean. What are you talking about? That's ice.
Yeah, you should put it in your mouth.
It's real cold. Oh, God, Sean's eating that.
Oh, my God, no.
It's so good. I love it in the ice.
I got to clip
that.
If
you tried any of those beers, you know that Line & Kugel brings the flavor for whatever.
Throw that one out.
Brings the flavor for whatever occasion. For over 150 years, Line & Kugel has combined German brewing traditions with Wisconsin innovation. Like Vinny says, the cheese curd, the Milwaukee Summerfest.
I think they invented boats.
Boats?
Yeah.
Probably the stoplight.
Stock market.
And Line & Kugel. You don't have to just pick one. you can have a Line and Kugel's Variety Pack, and they come in four flavors for you to try out. Flavor life's simple moments with Line and Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO, or pick up Line and Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Line and Kugel's, flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we have some great news for you. Our friends over at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating their Jeep celebration event all month long. And do you know what that means, Herb?
I don't.
You don't because you didn't hear me earlier when we were doing the pregame show. You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory for a limited time only. Lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. And if that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to Ray's price promise. So don't miss out. Go shop great deals all month long over at Ray CDJR. And if you go check out our friends at Ray CDJR, make sure you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service because you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO, but you have to schedule before April 1st. So if you are in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram because they're the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963. I want to give some shout outs as well to, first off, Klobe. Klobe saying, yo, longtime Spotify listener, what's up, guys? What's up, Klobe? Shout out to you. And we met some new people today, too. Want to give a shout out to Alejandro.
My guy.
Alejandro's been in the chat before, Alejandro de Jesus, and then we met him in person today, and that was fantastic to get to chat with him.
He became a new diehard member a couple days ago.
He did. We want to give a shout out to Armando as well, who we met, had a slick jacket on there.
Awesome.
And then want to give a shout out to Ryan and Mike, who also we met over at Ballpark Pub. Some new people. So there's also Stokes there, but we met Stokes.
Yeah, and I think Josh also was there too.
And Josh, there you go.
Yeah, it was good to see all the people at Ballpark Pub today. Hats off to those people who threw it today, Richie and Nick, who are running Ballpark Pub. Just a great establishment. If you've never been, I know it's on the other side of Guaranteed Rate. I had never been until a couple years ago. It's on Pershing, which is 39th Street, just like a couple blocks west of south and west of Guaranteed Rate Field. So if the next time you go to Guaranteed Rate Field, instead of going to the typical places, try out the Ballpark Pub. They have a nice outdoor patio. So during the summer, try some Line and Kugel's, watch the game, and watch it there at Ballpark Pub.
And get a slider, too. They had those lovely, lovely sliders. I think three come in a serving, and I would need about, like, three orders of sliders. Give me nine of those sliders in a baseball game, and I'll be very, very happy. Kevin Kaduk, our head of content here at CHGO Sports, posted this. I don't know where he was, but Cubs security guard at Wrigley Field. Hey, are you guys from CHGO? Kevin responds, yep. Cubs security guard, man, I love your White Sox podcast.
Yes. Thank you, Cubs security guy.
Thank you, Cubs security guy, for that. We also have some
your job
opening day shirts, too. So go check those out at chgolocker.com. If you are looking to celebrate opening day, we got the Sunday Fun Day shirt in black and white and the Defend the Southside shirt if you are looking for some new swag. All right. We are getting close to Vinny Duber joining us from Guaranteed Rate Field, but the biggest thing that sticks out to me from Garrett Crochet, and it's a little bit from yesterday too, because the media got to talk to him. We didn't play any of it on yesterday's show, mainly because he was just very succinct. And Vinny described him as confident. And man, I think confidence just radiated off the mound from him. You look at Kopech, and obviously I know I've been defending Kopech, and I've been for him being a starting pitcher, mainly because they can't score any runs. So like Michael Kopech give up six earned runs, who cares?
Yeah.
But what you saw from Crochet, especially just on the first pitch, he missed arm side, up and away. It just seemed like he was rushing a little bit. He took one deep breath, and he locked in. And you saw the lines from the first inning, the second inning, the third inning, the fourth inning, the fifth inning, the sixth inning. It was all around, 9 to 18 pitches,
yep,
right? He wasn't overworking himself. He wasn't really getting into these laborious moments, he wasn't getting frustrated with himself. If he missed a pitch, he said, I got another one. And man, he was just so effective with those two pitches. I know that there's some concern with the fastball slider only being his two true pitches right now. He's trying to work on that cutter and change to be a little bit different. But on the four-seam fastball, a called strike plus whiff percentage of 40%. When he threw that pitch 40% of the time, or he threw that pitch 46% of the time, and 46% of the time he threw that pitch, 40% of the time it was a called strike or a whiff. He was able to locate that pitch and people weren't able to hit it even when it was in the zone. The one thing that really kind of stuck out to me was when he did make a mistake, it was over the heart of the plate.
Yep.
And that was one of the issues to Baez as well. So like, that's my one concern, is that some of the misses were pretty fat.
Yeah,
with some of the sliders too.
It was a slider to Torkelson that Torkelson just missed. He hit to deep left center field.
Right. So that's a little bit concerning, but nothing. I mean, you're going to give up homers as a starter, but truly his composure was there. His confidence was there. And I am very excited for Garrett Crochet. I hope they don't ruin him.
And I love that you said confidence. We've been talking about Michael Kopech, and we can see today in his outing, yeah, confidence kind of drained out of him immediately when he hit Kerry Carpenter, his second batter he faced, and then loaded the bases up, and eventually, I think, got Vierling out on one of the filthiest sliders he's thrown in his major league career. Like, he had set him up perfectly with a low fastball, then Vierling hits a fastball that's going in on his hands and hits off the umpire, which, you know, somebody was cheering here. I'm not going to tell you who. It was funny. It was excellent. What? Do you remember that when the umpire got hit after our stories we're talking about? I don't want...
LOL.
Yeah. And then the third pitch after that, he throws the slider in the same area as the fastball to the hitter, of course, but that ball lands pretty much right in front of the home plate, and Vierling misses it by a foot. Michael Kopech has that stuff that is more filthy than any pitcher on the White Sox. But Garrett Crochet has confidence in those pitches more than Michael Kopech does. Mm-hmm. And he walks the walk. He looks like the part. When they're out there, they're about the same type of stature. Both big, bulky guys. One's a lefty, one's a righty. But Garrett Crochet, in his first start, had that electric stuff and that, cool, you want to try to hit this? Here's 101 on the corner. Good luck. Oh, okay. You're catching up to my fastball and following it off. Good luck on this slider, brother. Back foot. Enjoy. So, like, he would just, like, mix them up. And like, I don't necessarily blame Garrett on the fastball to Javi Baez. It should be in every locker room against the Tigers. Throw a pitch in the stadium that is not in the strike zone. You will get Javi Baez out. Don't throw him a fastball in the zone. He possibly can get a hit. And that's what he did. So the confidence he has on the mound as a first game starter is unmatched. And when he was talking about this, I don't believe in pitch counts. I don't believe in innings limits. I don't believe in all that stuff. I was like, pshaw, man. Regular pitchers don't do this. Like, a pitcher doesn't come from reliever to be a starter and just like, yeah, I can do this. His confidence is just dumb. In the greatest way possible, where you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's Garrett Crochet. He says, I got this stuff. They can't hit it. And my arm feels good. I'm good.
I'm going to have you bring that up to Vinny Duber, because I think at some point he's going to join us and say, you know, why don't you bring that up to him? Because I bet Crochet is probably just going to be the same exact way that he was yesterday, and he's probably going to be pissed off that they lost.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to ask him, hey, you know, how was six innings? He's be like, I don't care, we lost.
He's like, yeah. He's like, hey, hey, shouldn't I gave up that run?
Yeah. And true, like Blake Name mentions, if your biggest pitching complaint is giving up a single, I'll take that every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the defense was better than last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Nicky Lopez looks like an upgrade at second base defensively. I don't know if Maldonado still got it as he's 37 years old.
He looked like he was having troubles with early Crochet. Garrett Crochet. He's like, you can't hit it. I can't catch it.
Well, that was the issue too with Skubal. I don't know what was up with Jake Rogers. Rogers could not catch the ball. And that's, I think, fairly important for a catcher.
A catcher to catch?
You'd think so.
I thought the White Sox got that, but they still... didn't. But maybe just Garrett Crochet's that guy. We'll see with Michael Soroka going to the bump on Saturday if he can catch a little bit better.
Ugh, for some reason, you said Michael Soroka, and I immediately went to the guy with from last year. I was like, he's on the team again. No. So Crochet threw 76 four-seam fastballs and sliders. That's a called strike whiff percentage. He got 27 called strikes and whiffs, and that's a 35.5% on those two pitches alone. So when he was using his main two pitches, his four-seam fastball and slider, 35% called strike plus whiff rate is truly dominant. You're looking for a starting pitcher to be 30. He's at 35%. I'm so interested what that next start can look like, because if he is able to keep that velocity up, again, sitting average 97.6 on his four-seam fastball, 84.4 on his slider, that's only down 0.3 from last year. And two, if you take in, he's throwing 36 and not like seven as he's normally throwing in an outing. He was truly able to maintain that velocity throughout the outing. So that's the biggest sign, is that you look comfortable pitching six innings. Like, I don't think that... I hope that this doesn't turn into an issue and we can just enjoy Garrett Crochet pitch.
And the thing is, like, he has the 5 days in between his next start, and the level of competition will ramp up. From the Tigers, who, for the most part, they don't have anybody in that lineup you're scared of. Torkelson will run into one every once in a while. Same thing with Riley Green. But there's no one in that line be like, oh, no, you got to miss X. The Braves have like five of those dudes. And that's the next team he'll face. It's a night game on Tuesday. It will be his next start. So we'll get ample rest because this game only lasted 2 hours and 3 minutes. He won't pitch until around this time, about an hour from this time, on Tuesday. So his arm will be fresh and the competition will get a little stiffer. I don't expect him to do this every time because this is the major leagues. They're going to catch up to him soon enough. But for a performance, for your debut, it couldn't have gone better.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to leave those meatballs over the middle of the plate to Acuna or maybe Ozuna, those things will go very far. But hey, hopefully no one's on base.
But also,
as long as they're solo shots.
This is the weird thing about this. I would actually prefer the White Sox to get, or Garrett Crochet or any starter pitcher, to get batted around and you just lose definitively. Like, the game is over. You didn't have a chance to win that game. Today, the White Sox had a chance to win that game because their pitching was so strong. Garrett Crochet, Davey Garcia, your guy.
Davey, my guy.
You're on the Davey train. You are the conductor of that.
I need a conductor hat.
Yeah, like, that was strong. You had Michael Kopech with his struggles. He got out of that. And you get those type of good performances. And even, who was the last guy who pitched for the White
Leone.
Sox? Dominic Leone. He pitched all right, too. And so you get good pitching performances, and you still lose. So I leave this with the pitching staff dominated, but I feel terrible because I know that this offense is going to continue throughout this season, and a terrible offense is one of the worst ways to watch baseball. I would rather lose 10-8 each time. At least I got some excitement.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to complain about a 2-hour and 6-minute baseball game, I got to be honest. But that's the thing, too, is we heard so much about the defense improving and the pitching improving and the culture improving. The offense looked exactly the same. And that is, you know, probably the most important part about baseball from what we've been watching. Pitching's pretty important. Mm-hmm. Defense is pretty important. But you have to score a run to even tie the game and maybe put it into extra innings. Today's takeaways are, first off, one of them is from Jason Garnett, who said he was going to go 8 innings, Garrett Crochet, and have 14 strikeouts. 6 innings and 8 strikeouts. Ain't too bad. He threw that fire today, baby. Today's takeaways are presented by Factor. And today's takeaway is Garrett Crochet threw that fire, baby. Use code CHGOSOX50 to get 50% off your first Factor box and free wellness shots for life with any active subscription at factormeals.com/CHGOSOX50. Got a couple more advertisers we want to give a shout out to, and then we'll jump in to some more White Sox talk. We got an off day tomorrow. And if you aren't a diehard, we would love for you to sign up today. We're probably going to ask our diehards for some Ask Us Anythings. We kind of want to figure out where you guys are at with the season already underway. So let's figure out some questions. So if you do want to become a diehard, sign up allchgo.com and join our Discord, and you can ask us a question for tomorrow's off day show.
Yeah, and I think we introduced the new click to pick game, and the suspense is killing you guys. No one won click to pick today because the White Sox got 3 hits. They had 30 plate appearances. 30 plate appearances, 3 hits. That's it. Like, how, you can't do anything if you're only getting three more plate appearances than actual you're allowed in a Major League 9-inning game. So it's not going to be good here for the White Sox. But if you want to participate, we already got Jarrett CWS is this week's participant. So he's got to beat us three to win a T-shirt for Click to Pick. I don't even know if anybody's ever going to win because there might not be a Click to Pick ever in any of these games. So, but... allchgo.com/discord diehard to get on our diehard program, which means you get access to our Discord. You get 20% off of merch, 20% off of events, a free T-shirt when you sign up, stickers, all these good things. The Chicago collection, as Sarah's showing right there, our new T-shirt line. I got that Second City one coming to me soon and very soon. So allchgo.com/diehard. Become one of us. And join us in the Discord so we can talk and chat about things. And as Sean says, ask us anything in the Discord if you are a member right now. Anything. And not just baseball. I know AJ usually comes with the good questions, too. And Ian Robo, too.
Yeah, but the one thing, too. Pick to click, not good. And I'm really glad I went on that Moncada rant just for him to go 0-for-4. Like, pump is not hump, is mentioning. Let our pals know about our friends over at Empire Today. 588-2300
Empire
Today. I had a little solo there. Okay. With Empire Today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, and quick and professional installation with a low price guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring. So, of course, they have copycats, but Empire cannot be beaten on their quality, service, and speed. So competitors advertise low quality products that Empire simply won't carry. Empire won't promise lowest prices because anyone who does is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. Empire keeps shopping for floors simple with a curated product selection. You're not a flooring expert. Empire is. Trust them because their philosophy is to help you find what you need and not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is just as important what they put in their selection, and their product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles for your home. And their virtual floor designer is a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. So go schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. Restrictions do apply, but go see empiretoday.com/CHGO for all of the details. And we also want to let you know about our friends over at Circa Sportsbook.
Oh, I was talking to Sarah.
Oh, okay. Sarah, he wants to communicate with. We want to let you know about our friends over at Circa Sportsbook. If you are looking to place a wager on today's game, maybe for the future of the MLB season, maybe you're looking to gamble this weekend on the Sox Saturday and Sunday's game. Take the under. We encourage you to download the Circa Sportsbook app, the newest sportsbook in Illinois. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. That's circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. You can see why they are raved about, because there are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chatbots. Also, Circa does not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players. And you could download every Illinois sports book that is not Circa, and you can compare the lines. They want you to go compare the lines because every time, if not all the time, the world's largest sports book, Circa Sportsbook, can beat every line out there. They keep the splits tight. They usually aim for a -110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike other sports books, which may use a -115 or -120 split. Circa is looking to cater to you, the sports better. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates, like the draft party that the Bears have coming up in April. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Text GMB to 833-234. Visit areyoureallywinning.com. A one-run game for the White Sox today. In 2023, they were 19-30 in one-run games. Now, they fall to 0-1. Let's head out to Guaranteed Rate Field to our pal and CHGO White Sox beat writer, Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. Hey, Vin.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. Two-hour game? Yes.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
fantastic.
Can't complain about the two-hour game. Can't complain about the fun that we had at Ballpark Pub. And can't complain about Garrett Crochet. So let's try to talk about all the things that aren't the White Sox offense today, huh? What did you make of Garrett Crochet? And did he have more words for the media today after this outing? Or was it more short and sweet to the point from Garrett?
No, I mean, listen, I think that he's very reminiscent of some of the starting pitchers we've heard from in the past. Let's throw out Dylan Cease as an example, right, in terms of a guy where he goes out there, he does his job, and he doesn't really seem necessarily plussed or nonplussed. You know what I mean? I mean, like, it's just like, all right, yeah, I went out there and did it. How about that? You know, he didn't think really today was overwhelmingly positive, probably because of the result, you know, of the White Sox losing. He didn't really think today was overwhelmingly negative, certainly, because he was very, very good out there. But, you know, I think he's looking for probably the total package of bringing his team a win. And that didn't happen today. But boy, it wasn't for lack of trying on his part. He looked really good out there, and I think he surprised some folks. You know, I think nobody who works for the White Sox was surprised. In fact, Pedro Grifol made a point of saying after the game, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised by this. I think they all know what kind of pitcher he is, but certainly the question was, can he do that over a length of time? Can he do that for more than one inning? You know, I mean, listen, the last time Garrett Crochet threw a full season, granted it was as a reliever, but the last time he did it in 2021, he was very good. You know, he was a very effective relief pitcher. So I don't think anybody was, you know, out here questioning, oh, he's going to get rocked. He's not, you know, we don't know what the stuff's going to look like. We don't know what he can do against major league hitters. I think we knew that part. It was it's the duration part. It's the time element of this. And listen, Sean, the question you wanted to know in terms of Garrett Crochet jumping to the rotation with so few innings on his arm when Michael Kopech was deemed to not be ready for the rotation because he's not efficient. Guess what you saw from Garrett Crochet today? Right. A very efficient pitcher, a guy who showed you that if that's what the White Sox are looking for, then he earned that job by being that way, because he didn't walk anybody. He didn't come close to walking anybody. He was he struck out eight guys. He got a lot of, you know, not very hard contact. I mean, he was going quick. He was getting through those innings, and there were no jams that he was in at all. Now, granted, he was just good. That's what happens when you're good, as Tarek Skubal showed the exact same thing, right? He wasn't in any jams either. But if he's going to do that or something like it in that style, you know, with that rhythm, with that efficiency, then a 5-6 inning, you know, or a 6-7 inning by the time we get a couple months down the road, performance from him should not come as a surprise, even though it might have done so today, seeing it for the first time.
Vinny, I know we're brought up that they only got three hits today, and sometimes you're going to get shut down by a good pitcher, and Tarek Skubal's great. But the thing is, in those at-bats, you see just poor at-bats. I probably on one hand counted what I would consider good at-bats. Vaughn had multiple ones. One of them, he got called out on some terrible pitches. And Aloy had a couple. But what was Pedro's message about the offense and how woeful they look today? Did he just give it up to Skubal, or did he actually say his offense was just horrible?
He gave it up to the Tigers pitching, and listen, they were very good. You know, let's not take anything away from them. A lot of people were predicting Skubal to be among the best pitchers in the American League this year. You saw even, you know, we might have been surprised. Hey, where was Alex Lang in that ninth inning? Guy was an all-star closer for this team, but the guy they brought in had like better numbers last year and was throwing 100. Like, you know, Chafin has done this for a while. So this was a good pitching day on both sides, but, you know, particularly for a Tigers team, only gave up three hits. But you're right. The White Sox kind of looked like the White Sox the White Sox we saw last year in terms of the offense. One of the three hits they got was an accidental infield single by Luis Robert Jr. And then listen, the last 17 White Sox were retired in order. Like they were not putting up much of a fight. And listen, I think, again, are we very surprised by that? I mean, this is probably the biggest question about this team going into the year is, are they going to be able to score runs? And today, they didn't look like they were able to score runs. Now, again, they're not going to be facing somebody the caliber of Skubal every day, but they're going to be facing a lot of good pitchers can get major league hitters out. And unless they make, you know, I don't want to say changes, it's one game, but unless they perform a lot differently, there's really not much more that we can expect other than they have to be able to win a game like today where it's just one run and they might be able to do it with bunting and sack flies the way the Tigers did. That might be the way that they have to go in order to win games with what this offense might look like. Again, it's only one day.
Yeah, the thing with Skubal, and I think it frustrates me, is we talked about this before you joined. We heard so much this offseason about the defense and the pitching and overhauling the culture and the IQ of this team, but we didn't hear a ton about the offense. Obviously, Marcus Thames came in and is the new hitting coach, but Tarik Skubal is someone that you saw last year. Tarik Skubal's in your own division. You saw him twice in September. He had 12 innings of 2 earned runs. In the last 3 games against Tarik Skubal, 18 innings pitched. This is against the White Sox. 18 innings pitched, 10 hits, 3 walks, 22 Ks, 2 earned runs. Like, they just, you know what he's going to be offering. And it just doesn't feel like the game plan is there for the White Sox. And I don't know if the White Sox addressed offensive game plan, but even going to Martin Maldonado, he talked about how he's going to improve the pitching game plan. It just doesn't feel like the White Sox offensive game plan is truly there just yet. I don't even want to talk about the White Sox offense, so you don't even have to respond to that. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't feel like the game plan is truly there for the Sox offense just yet. It's more, you know, can Luis Robert Jr. hit a ball 450 feet and then we'll figure it out. Maybe that will work for some games, but I don't know.
That one pitch where he got like a 2-0 fastball. He just missed it.
Pulled it down the line, right?
No, he hit it to left center field. It was just like a harmless warning track fly.
I want to go back to Crochet, though. Like, does he ooze confidence? Like, what type of person is he? I don't think a lot of White Sox fans have been exposed to him because of COVID, because of the injuries. Is he a guy that has, like, a personality? Like, is he just a pitching machine? What do we expect from Garrett Crochet throughout this season? Because if he continues to pitch this way, I mean, we're going to hear from him a lot.
Well, I think one thing that comes to mind, and maybe this is something that has developed over time, obviously, like you mentioned there, right? He was only up in 2020 for such a short period of time, and then he misses all of 22 and all of 23. So it's, or basically all of 23. So it's, we haven't really, like you said, seen much of him. But one thing I noticed in spring training, and maybe it's new to this year because he's been around for a while now, or maybe it's just who he is, comfort. He seems very comfortable for a guy who, you know, listen, he went out there today and did something he'd never done before, which is start a Major League Baseball game, throw innings in a Major League Baseball game. And the way he's describing it is not, oh, I'm happy to have succeeded in this new experience. He's describing it as getting back to normal for him. And so I think that if there's one thing that you want to point to, and it's been backed up by what Chris Getz said about his conviction in wanting to do this starting job, he's comfortable. He thinks that this is where he should be. And you know, the way he faces major league hitters, he's going right after him. He's not scared. He's not tap dancing at all. So, listen, we noticed that in 2020, right? When he was blowing 101 miles an hour by guys having been in college, you know, a few months earlier. So it's definitely a guy who...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is comfortable with where he is, with what he's doing. And so when you hear Chris Getz say, oh, he's convicted about being a starting pitcher, it's because I think he sees it as his normal course of action.
Yeah, and let's go to Crochet because we actually have some video from you. So people can be introduced to Crochet, hear a little bit about what he thought of his 6 innings and his 87 pitches. So here is Vinny and the media talking to today's starter, Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, nice. It took me a couple innings, I feel like, to get my feet underneath me and really catch my breath. The first inning, obviously, a lot of emotions flowing. But, yeah, I don't think it could have gone better than that.
Did you settle those emotions, too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's... I've been in the big moment before. Nothing, obviously, as great as this. But it was nice to, you know, just give my team a fighting chance. And I felt like as long as I was doing that, I was able to keep my emotions under control.
Did you feel that you carried over the performance you had during the spring?
Yeah, it's a different ballgame. I feel like I was able to carry my confidence over and then just pound in the strike zone, really.
Talk about coming out to the mound and getting ready, warming up, what those feelings were like, channeling all that energy into positive result.
Yeah, I was really just trying to clear my mind. Had a lot going on pregame, and then kind of once I stepped on the mound, it was night and day difference. Just like the emotions of excitement and nervousness and that sort seemed to just wash away once I stepped foot on the rubber.
Obviously, you'll spend several days going over this stuff, but what are the instant reactions you got from the coaching staff, from Maldonado, about your performance today?
Yeah, positive. Nothing crazy. Yeah.
What was the most satisfying thing about the day for you?
Just going back out there, getting to sit down on the bench and knowing that I had a chance to go back out and just keep doing my thing.
You threw some real sharp sliders today, and I know you did spring training, but was it that good in spring, your slider?
I feel like it took a step forward in like the third or fourth inning. That was kind of part of what I was talking about getting my feet underneath me. Just with the cold, dry air, I didn't really have as good of a grip on it as I needed, but kind of as the sun started to come out, I feel like I found it a little bit better.
Was there any question you would come out for the six, Garrett? I mean, you're around 74, 75, and 80 was the number you guys been looking at. Did it take any convincing, or the way you were pitching, to just head back out there?
Yeah. As far as I knew, I was going back out. There was never really much discussion about that on my end. I'm not sure. I'm sure they talked amongst themselves about it. But yeah, I felt like things were going well.
Sometimes guys struggle to get their breaking balls to behave normally in Arizona. Did you feel a difference at all here? Better command of it today?
Not a huge difference. I feel like I was just kind of starting to find it at the end of my spring training outings. So for me, it was really just throwing it for strikes. That was the big thing, and I felt like I did that pretty well today.
You've talked so much about the physical aspect, you know, how you're feeling, how you're recovering. How did you feel going deeper into the game today?
Yeah, I felt good. In my opinion, I was ready to go back out there for the seventh, at least go batter to batter or something like that. But having only gone four ups in spring training, I think that was really the main thing that kind of gave us pause, but to give my team a quality start in the first one, you know, nothing better than that.
It has to feel good 4 years later after being drafted as a starting pitcher and then coming through as a reliever, and then here you are again.
Yeah, for me, it was it really wasn't a drastic change. It was kind of things just getting back to normal, in my opinion.
Did you feel
the
crowd get two strikes, really getting into the next pitch?
Yeah, the fans here are great. Full counts, two strikes, that sort of thing, two outs with a runner in scoring position. I mean, they always get loud for that, and it's definitely great to feel that presence when you're on the mound.
Garrett, do you expect to go Tuesday again now, 4 days rest? Is that the plan, or don't you?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, that's the plan.
You were mentioning something about emotions early. You know, given that it was your first big league start on opening day, what were you feeling early on, and how quick did you feel like you settled in?
Pretty much every emotion you could think of, I was feeling. I feel like I was able to really get those under control, and like I said, once I stepped foot on the rubber, things kind of just washed away, and it was just me and the catcher, me and Maldi.
What you said yesterday, and you said just now that you feel like you're back to normal. This is where you were meant to be. Have you felt that since you've been working as a starter? Did that kind of just click with you and say, this is what I was meant to do?
100%. And I think that, you know, since I kind of found the cutter in spring training, it's kind of been without a shadow of a doubt in my mind.
What does this do for you, a performance like this, going forward?
Yeah, something to build on for sure. Nothing too drastically positive or negative, in my opinion. Just a good start, and just got to keep working.
Will you be thinking about this tonight, tomorrow? You could just wash it out.
Yeah, I imagine the next 72 hours I'll probably be thinking about it. But I mean, that's part of it when you're a starter. It's something that I'm gonna have to try and let go. But definitely, like I said, I got some things that I want to build on. So I'll definitely rewatch some film and just try and improve.
Facing so many righties, and I'm sure teams are going to throw righties at you a lot, how important was it for you to command the inner half early on, and how that set things up for you?
Yeah, for me, when I'm throwing hard like I have been lately, I feel like that's a pitch that I feel very confident with. And like you said, just establishing that really opens everything else up. And I think that we saw that today.
Oh boy, did we ever see that today, Garrett Crochet. If his mile per hour stays up, this is going to be something to watch. But I just love that, you know, he has so much composure. We talked about that composure. This is somebody who's not even 25 yet and said, eh, never much discussion. And Bruce asked him, what's his favorite part? And he's like, oh, that there's going to be another inning. Like, I don't know. There's just something about Garrett Crochet. It's very measured. It's very composed. And he just seems ready for the moment. And I'm excited that hopefully he has all the health in the world to go chase his dream and be a badass pitcher, because he's a badass pitcher, at least from what we've seen today.
He's something different, Vinny. I just don't know a person in the time that I've been watching baseball that starts his first start. Not a guy who went from reliever to start his first start on opening day. Bump that. Any pitcher in the decade plus that you've been covering baseball, do you remember anybody doing this as Garrett Crochet, as dominant as he did it?
I mean, there have been guys who have had really good outings, right? But I think like Sean just brought up, it's the composure, the comfort level, the confidence is very much of a veteran. And let's be frank, he is a veteran. He's been pitching in Major League Baseball since 2020. That's 4 years ago, right? I mean, he's a veteran in terms of the amount of time he's been around big league ball. But you're right in that this is a new challenge for him. This is something he's never done before. And he not only performed well, right, and went after guys and got tremendous results, but he's acting the part. He's treating it like it's he's treating it kind of like it's no big deal, like it's no big surprise. And that aspect of it is something, again, the White Sox have had that in certain guys. Dylan Cease comes to mind, right? That maturity, that able to handle anything that comes at you. I think Lucas Giolito had that a little bit too, certainly after a point, you know, worst pitcher in baseball. But I think that Garrett Crochet has it because he's not starting from zero. You know what I mean? This is not the first day he stepped out on this mound. He's been on this mound plenty of times. And to be able to have the confidence from experience that, hey, I've gotten these kind of hitters out before in a dominant fashion. And then also the confidence of, hey, the new part of this, I know I can do it. I'm so confident in that part too. Putting it together, you know, he had a very, very nice day. And it's just one day, but it gives you confidence, not necessarily because of the results, but because of the way he acted throughout it.
Absolutely. Oh, now you want to ask the question?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You didn't want to ask the question after I said, oh, I'll make a comment. And then you're going to ask about you want to double up question.
Okay, I do. Sorry, brother. I'm taking your questions.
Go ahead. Ask me a question.
Hey, Vinny, we saw half of that tattoo that Gary Crochet had on his right arm. Is that Soxtopus?
I'll have to do some research. I'll let you know.
Did you say Brian Shaw?
Yeah.
Did you also have a Brian Shaw tattoo?
All right. We didn't see Brian Shaw today, but the pitching was absolutely dominant. Hopefully we can see more from the White Sox pitching and maybe a little bit more from the White Sox offense on Saturday. Tomorrow is an off day show. We'll be here at 5 p.m. Again, diehards, send in your questions, anything you got for us, baseball related. If it's not baseball related, we'll likely throw it in there anyways. Also, we got post games on Saturday and Sunday. So we got you covered for the next 9 straight days of White Sox baseball, even though there's not even a game tomorrow. So we have you covered. Make sure you're following Vinny at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. We thank him for sending in that Crochet audio and video. Thank you to Herb Lawrence at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Anything else from the stadium, Vin?
Not really. The one thing I think that jumped out to folks was Andrew Vaughn getting struck out on a pitch clock violation. Kind of a quirky thing, apparently. There was some confusion because the pitcher maybe wasn't on the mound, but that doesn't matter. You still got to get in the box. Plus the foul ball off the knob of the bat, you know. So it was, I think Pedro described it as kind of a perfect storm situation for something like that to occur.
We shouldn't talk much about that because then we'll get into Brian Onora's 2020, and we shouldn't do that. That is Sarah, our producer. Thank you to Sarah. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson, and you can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We'll be here at 5 p.m. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. We're at Davey Garcia likes. Hey, it's the Davey train. Let's go. We're ending it on that. I'm not asking for any more. We'll see you tomorrow at 5. Goodbye.
don't sit